Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. And if your mom is getting older, tonight's show might, in fact, be very important, even if your dad's getting older. We have a wonderful show tonight. It's very interesting. It's in honor of February being Heart Month. Dr. Sarab Sanon is here, and we're going to talk about some new developments in the treatment of heart valves. Heart valves is very near and dear to me on a personal basis. While it isn't for boomers and their parents, I have a nephew who struggles with heart valve issues. So I have a particular interest in this subject. But Dr. Sanon is a very accomplished physician doing some amazing work, first in the state surgery. And we're going to be talking about that and many other things. Of course, if you're listening on 95.9 or 106.9 and it's Monday night, we're live. If you're listening on 103.9 on Long Island, it's Wednesday night. We hope you had a great day, but we are nonetheless glad that you are here. We're here every Monday night at 6 o'clock on 95.9 True Oldies, 106.9. We're also on iHeartRadio. You can just ask Alexa to tune in to True Oldies Florida or Echo. However you want, you can get to us. We're going to talk to Dr. Sanon in just a minute or so, but first, a couple of things. Since the last time I was on live, Parkland happened. I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, but it is really close to home, and it really is a non-political story. And since I don't talk much about politics on this show, I won't tonight either. But I do want to send out my prayers to all of those that were affected. I have a cousin who knew one of the victims and a friend who knew one of the victims. It's very sad for us, and I hope that we don't lose sight of the fact, amidst all the turmoil that is currently going on, that innocent people died, and that we should remember that and wish them well. Because of that, or in spite of that, or just by fortuitous good fortune, in 2 weeks, I have David Hirschberg on the show. David is a constitutional expert, and amongst other things, we will be talking about the Second Amendment. I think you're not going to want to miss that show. I will remind you about that later as the show unfolds. Also, I want to send a shout out to Pam Polani. Who's Pam Polani, you might ask? Well, she has been a guest on the show a long time ago, but she's an elder attorney and an estate planning attorney. But what she is mostly is the organizer of the biggest fundraising event to help those that are struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia. She put together 900 of her nearest and dearest last week at Boca West on Friday afternoon. It took distributed funds to three worthy organizations, the Alzheimer's Association, the Alzheimer's Community Care, which I am particularly close to, as we are the Alzheimer's Association, and the Memory and Wellness Center at FAU. It was a wonderful event. She deserves all the credit in the world, and I want her to receive that. We also spoke last week at Ibis Country Club, and I want to thank the people at Ibis. We had a three-week series. Last week was Dr. David Watson. Dr. Watson is one of the country's leading researchers and clinical in clinical trials. I didn't say that right. He's one of the leading clinical trial researchers in the nation. And he was there, and I want to thank him, and I want to thank IBIS for stepping up to the plate and getting brain health so much a part of their offerings. That was terrific. But you didn't come to listen to me. You came to listen to my guest. So I want to introduce you to Dr. Sarab Sanon. He is at Tenet Health. He's the director of structural heart transcatheter therapies, and he's going to tell you exactly what that is. He did his initial medical training in India, but he did his internal medicine residency at the University of Texas Health Center. He also did his cardiology fellowship there. And then he moved into that little place you might have heard of called the Mayo Clinic, where he did an interventional cardiology fellowship, followed again by the Advanced Structural Interventional Cardiology Fellowship at Mayo. He is board certified in internal medicine, nuclear cardiology, cardiovascular disease, interventional cardiology, and he is our guest tonight to talk about some amazing new developments in the space in which he travels. So welcome to the show, Dr. Sanger.
Scott, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So why don't we start at the beginning? What do you do? To explain your area or specialty to us.
So I'm an interventional cardiologist by training. And over the last few years, there has been rapid evolution in the field of interventional cardiology, so much so that it spun off an offshoot of interventional cardiology, and this field is now called structural heart disease. In short, this is a hybrid between cardiac surgery and interventional cardiology. So what I do is a lot of the kind of procedures that cardiac surgeons used to do back in the day with the chest open and the heart outside. These are now possible to be successfully completed without opening the chest, and I call this micro-invasive cardiac surgery. These are all procedures which include valve replacements, patching holes in the heart, placing different devices inside the heart through small micro-incisions in the groin, just like a heart cath.
And actually, I had three or four questions in my head. For this, do you also go through the wrist, or is that almost always through the groin? I'm just curious.
Yes, so the wrist has emerged as a very useful site for interventional cardiologists to put stents in the heart.
Right.
And when I do stents in the heart, I almost exclusively use the wrist because it is a modern technique. It's more easy for the patient, and it has some benefits in terms of a better risk profile. When we talk about structural heart procedures, there are very few structural heart procedures that can be deployed through the wrist. And the reason for that is most of these structural devices are larger devices,
right,
and they require larger arteries or veins which are available in the leg as opposed to the wrist.
Having gone through the wrist operation for my stent, I can tell you that having a turkey sandwich within 15 minutes of getting off the table
was
pretty good.
That, yeah.
But we're talking about more serious surgery today. So, there's a whole host of questions that arise out of this. Who's a candidate for it? What type of procedures we're talking about? Structural cardiology differs from traditional interventional cardiology in more specifically for the layperson, me to understand?
So, in very pure terms, an interventional cardiologist will deal with fixing blockages in the arteries of the heart by placing stents. And that's kind of what an interventional cardiologist do. A structural cardiologist, on the other hand, is an interventional cardiologist that has had advanced training in structural heart disease. And as a result of that training, a structural cardiologist is able to put new valves in the heart, repair valves of the heart, patch holes in the heart, and do many such procedures which involve more cardiac surgical techniques rather than just putting stents in the heart. So it's a new hybrid field, sort of a mix between cardiac surgery and interventional cardiology.
So you're at Palm Beach Gardens Hospital, which I know people are not always fully aware of, is one of the best heart hospitals, certainly in Florida,
definitely,
but certainly in the country. I mean, you're doing some amazing things at Palm Beach Gardens. I know that both from personal experience and from other guests that have been on this. You just did the first in the state surgery.
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Yes. So, you know, the procedure you're talking about, and you probably heard about, was it was a tricuspid valve implant. And so there are four valves in the heart. There's an aortic valve, mitral valve, pulmonary valve, and a tricuspid valve. So the tricuspid valve in this patient had been replaced with a surgical valve a few years ago. However, this valve had gone bad over time. And that's common to find. Sometimes these surgical valves, they deteriorate over time. And because this patient was such a high-risk candidate, the surgeons did not feel that he would make it through a traditional open-heart surgery, which would include or involve removing that old valve and placing a new valve in. So the patient came to me, and I had performed about 7 or 8 of these procedures in the last few years, including at my time at Mayo Clinic, where a lot of these technologies were developed. And so I offered this patient a transcatheter tricuspid valve in valve implantation. So what that basically means in lay terms is we took a valve, which was compressed onto a catheter and implanted through the patient's vein in the leg and inside of the old bad surgical valve. So we replaced the old valve with a new valve inside of it.
Without necessarily removing the old valve? This is kind of inside. It's
called a valve-in-valve implant. And so the old valve remains in place. The new valve takes its place by anchoring itself within the old valve.
So is this enabled by improved technology, improved skill set that you might possess? Because this is almost Star Wars type of stuff that you're talking about.
This is very exciting stuff, and it is enabled by a combination of things. Number one being improved technology. The next being improved imaging. We can now see inside the heart using 3D imaging as if we're looking at the heart in real time. And finally, but not the least, is a new skill set, which people like me are trained in very specific centers in the country to achieve. And I think a combination of these allows us to do these new, very exciting procedures for our patients now.
Is this an age-related, do people come to you with age-related issues, or can this be, and I ask for a specific reason. I know because of where we are in the hospital that virtually all of your patients are boomers and their parents. I understand that. But is the problem that you're describing more likely age-related than it is?
And that's a very intelligent question. Most of the procedures which are in the transcatheter realm, which is what structural heart deals with, are procedures which are approved for patients who are older or more specifically high risk for problems during open heart surgery. So if you have a patient, whether this patient is young or old, but for whatever reason, he or she is a high-risk candidate for open heart surgery, well, then he or she can qualify for these new structural heart procedures.
The reason I ask is I mentioned to you, and I've talked about it on the show over the years, although I don't know why anybody would remember. I have a nephew that has valve issues, has already had a replacement. And as you know, they don't grow as but everybody listening doesn't know, valves don't grow with you. So he's got issues at this point in time, and they're trying to hold off. He's only 12. They're trying to hold off doing another open heart surgery.
So in general, if somebody has one open heart surgery, whether it's a bypass surgery or a valve replacement like your nephew did, and now the proposition is to go back into the chest and do a second open heart surgery, that is generally high risk.
High risk.
So even though your nephew might be a young man, he may qualify for structural heart procedures as a result of the fact that a surgeon has already been inside the chest.
Right. And so it's really interesting. And I talk to my sister all the time about it. And of course, she's much more expert at it than anyone should be. So the candidate is by definition sicker than the average patient, higher risk.
Higher risk would be a better way. Yeah.
Higher risk as opposed to sicker. So are there other things that place you at high risk besides having had previous open heart surgery?
There's a whole host of things that we look at as structural heart specialists. And what I do is actually employ a multidisciplinary approach to this. So when a patient is referred to me for one of these newer procedures, I look at that patient along with one or two cardiac surgeons.
Right.
And I use their expertise to tell me whether my patient would be too high risk for open heart surgery.
Right.
And so there's a very healthy back and forth and a conversation and discussion about each patient. Well, between myself, cardiac surgeons, radiologists, a whole host of people, and then we come up with the best therapy for the patient.
So we're going to talk more about recovery and symptoms, and I want to talk about things like TAVR and the Watchman and mitral clip and all those things, all of which I know are things you're intimately familiar with, but my audience should get more intimately familiar with. But if you're just tuning in, folks, it's Scott Greenberg, and oh my God, I'm getting older, and so is my My Mom. I am here tonight with Dr. Saurabh Sanon from Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. Dr. Sanon is the Director of Structural Heart Transcatheter Therapies. That's a mighty big description, but what it really is a revolutionary approach to the treatment of the most serious heart issues for those who are higher risk. A lot of people don't understand that Palm Beach Gardens Hospital is really cutting edge and leading edge, and they think they have to go to other centers. And that is not necessarily true, because there are incredibly well-trained, experienced physicians like my guest tonight who are here, who are doing amazing things. So if you're listening to us on 95.9 or 106.9 True Oldies, and it's Monday night, we are live. I hope you're driving carefully. Be safe. If you're listening on Long Island, 103.9 FM, it's Wednesday night, Long Island's Talk Radio. You're thrilled with us. And of course, if you're listening on Sunday morning, we're glad that you've tuned in, but we are, of course, on tape. When we come back, if you have questions for my guest, you can call him at 1-877-960-9960. 1-877-960-9960. Thank you.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
So welcome back, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Sanon, who is an interventional cardiologist specializing in structural heart transcatheter therapies. That's a big word. We've been talking about that since the show began. It's really, really important. There are a lot of conditions where his expertise and skill set can really make a big difference. So, Dr. Sanon, I know it goes through the groin. I understand that. The valve treatment that you just talked about isn't the only condition that can be treated this way or more effectively than it has before. Mm-hmm. So in no particular order, let's talk about TAVR. A lot of people misunderstand TAVR. It came out a few years ago. Everybody thought they understood it, but it's evolved, hasn't it?
It certainly has. And the way of doing TAVRs now is very different than the way we were doing TAVRs a few years ago, or the kind of devices we were using for TAVRs a few years ago. So why do we do TAVR? So TAVR stands for transcatheter aortic valve replacement. The aortic valve is one of the four valves in the heart. It's actually one of the most important valves in the heart. And over time and with age, and sometimes due to other conditions, what can happen is that the aortic valve can become narrowed and calcified. So we call that aortic stenosis. So now you have a narrowed valve, and instead of a big opening through which the heart can pump blood out from the heart to the rest of the body, now this narrowed opening is obstructing the flow of blood out from the heart. So that is aortic stenosis, or a narrowed aortic valve. Back in the day, the only option for patients with narrowing of the aortic valve was surgery, and it was surgical aortic valve replacement. We call that SAVR. Over the last 10 or 15 years or so, now we have a new technique called TAVR, which is basically aortic valve replacement without doing surgery. So in this technique, what we use is a valve. It's a transcatheter valve, and this valve is compressed onto a small catheter, and it is implanted from an artery in the leg and into the heart, and it takes the place of the patient's bad narrowed aortic valve. And so that is TAVR in a nutshell. There are different valves that we can use to perform a TAVR. These valves have rapidly evolved over the last few years, and now we are at a point where in selected patients we can do TAVRs without doing general anesthesia, so much like a heart cath. The recovery after these procedures is rapid. I would say most patients would go home in the next day or two after the procedure. And so think about this. Now you have a brand new valve in your heart, and you're home on day three walking around and doing your day-to-day activities.
That's really amazing to me. I find this, and I hope the audience does as well, this is really quite astounding, because this was not that long ago open heart surgery and major recovery and much more invasive. And it's unbelievable to me. I guess the question before I go on to the other things that you do is, now that we have more experience, 10 years or so on TAVR, for example, do we now have, I guess, enough history that these procedures are not only easier, faster, recovery is simple, but are people living longer? Do we have better outcomes as a result of these things? Not just from the surgical outcome, but from the outcome of the procedure
quality
itself.
Of life.
Right.
Right. So when I offer this procedure to my patient, I always have the conversation with him or her that, why are we doing this procedure? Really, that should be a question that all of us should pause and ask our doctors, right? Why are we doing a certain surgery or a procedure? And the first and most foremost thing that comes to mind is to improve quality of life.
Right.
Not just quantity of life, but also quality of life.
Right.
And so those are the two reasons to do a procedure like a TAVR. The technology has evolved over the last 10 years or so, and the FDA, as you know, is very strict before it allows any new device to come to market. And so the FDA looked at research which included thousands of patients. And these patients, some of them had surgical valves, some of them had TAVR valves. And both these groups were compared in a very rigorous scientific fashion, a clinical trial. And when we looked at these two groups, the FDA found that when you do a TAVR valve, it works just as well as a surgical valve, without the risk and the length of stay and other things that come with open heart surgery. And so that's the reason why the FDA approved these valves. And a few years ago, these valves were only approved for patients who were high risk for open heart surgery. Over the last year or two, the FDA has become more lenient. And now it says that if a person is medium risk for open heart surgery, they can still get this procedure. So you can see that these valves have been performing so well that the FDA is basically becoming more lax with this indication.
Expanding the field of which people can take
exactly.
advantage of it. Right.
And so that goes to prove how effective and efficient these valves have become.
So as we migrate toward minimally invasive procedures, which we are doing more and more of, and we understand that obviously minimally invasive is better than majorly invasive.
Mm-hmm.
We get that. The recovery is quicker.
1 to 3 days.
1 to 3 days.
Yeah, I've had patients that have gone home the next morning. I've had patients that generally stay maybe a day or two. But that's kind of the norm. It's 1 to 3 days after these procedures.
And the lingering complication, not complications, but the lingering effects? I mean, do people go back to, if they're still working, do they go back to work soon? Yeah. Do they start exercising soon? Yeah.
So depending on what they do, obviously. But generally, I'll tell my patients for the next week or so after the procedure, I want them to take it easy. Meaning you can walk around, you can go to the grocery store, you can do everything in day-to-day life.
Right.
But I would ask them to avoid strenuous physical activity. So don't go to the gym. Don't do anything which is exertional for 1 week after the procedure.
For 1 week.
Just 1 week. And, exactly. And, you know, at the end of that week, I bring the patient back to see me and kind of check on everything. And at that point, we clear them in most cases.
So if you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Sannin. Dr. Sannin is at Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. He is a structural heart transcatheter specialist. It is the next level up from interventional cardiology. It is a state of the art. I can't impress upon you enough how game-changing this can be for the treatment of people with serious heart conditions. And the fact that this is Heart Month, February, we're thrilled that he is here. If you have questions for he or for I, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by 6 family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client. Because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition, and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope that you're enjoying Your ride home, if you're on 95 or the Turnpike, please be careful. If you're up on the Treasure Coast and you already got home, I hope you're enjoying your wine. Anyway, it's Monday night. It's Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We've been here for about 6.5 years. We're glad that you're with us. If you're new to the show, we talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Tonight, we're talking about heart surgery, but the kind of heart surgery that you probably don't even know is available to you because it is that state of the art. We're very fortunate here in Palm Beach County to have Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center, which is really a heart center of really kind of national renown. Most people don't get that. One of my guests tonight is Dr. Sannon. Dr. Sannon is an interventional cardiologist specializing in structural heart treatments and transcatheter therapies, and we're really excited that he is with us. You know, before I go on to some of the other things that you do, we're going to talk, for those of you who are listening, we're going to talk about AFib, we're going to talk about mitral clip, we're going to talk about Watchman, we're going to talk about all of those things in just a little bit. But what about symptoms? What is it that that you may be thinking is going on that would prompt somebody to get to you? And in the same context, what you do is kind of different than what a traditional cardiologist does.
Yes.
So let's go there.
They're connected yet different.
Right.
And the kind of symptoms that people have when they have structural heart problems are very interesting. And I call it interesting because a lot of these symptoms can be mistaken for just getting older. And so it's not uncommon for me to talk to a patient who has one of these valve problems and ask about specific symptoms and then have the patient exclaim and just tell me, I blew all this off for all these years thinking this is just part of normal aging. It is not. So the kind of symptoms patients have when, for example, you have aortic stenosis or narrowed aortic valve would be shortness of breath. We call that dyspnea in medical terms. You could get dizzy or lightheaded. You could just start getting more and more tired as time progresses, and you could pass out. And in very severe cases, you could have pressure or pain in the chest. So all of those symptoms, you can see how easily those could be, some of those can be misconstrued for just signs of aging.
Working too hard in the yard yesterday.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Or working out in the heat.
Right.
But in fact, those are coming from serious problems in the heart valves in some cases.
Right. That's really interesting. These things can be really masked. I have a good friend who's a physician. He's not my physician, but he's a really, really dear friend. And he just had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he misread his own symptoms.
Yeah.
And or maybe he was in denial. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I can only assume that most important to you is if you have any question at all, you should have this checked out. And if you're going to have this checked out, do you do that through originally your cardiologist, or do you do that go to somebody like you?
It can happen both ways. My advice would be go to your primary care physician first, because in most cases, your primary care physician will be able to guide you in the right direction. Now, your primary care physician might look at your EKG or listen to your heart and determine that you likely have a valve problem and may send you directly to someone like me. On the other side, and he or she might decide you need a heart cath or something else for which a general cardiologist may be able to help you. So I would say check out your symptoms with your primary care physician first to be able to go in the right direction.
Are primary care physicians asking the right questions? I know that's a challenging question. I understand that that's not an easy thing for me to ask you. But it often comes down to whether the primary care physician who has less and less time to spend with you is asking the right questions, or do you have to be proactive and go after it and say, hey, this is what's going on?
I think it's a combination of both. I think most primary care physicians in the area are very well-versed with some of these
right.
technologies. And one of my big interest and something I spend a lot of time doing is to actually educate the medical community about these new technologies, understanding that these are so cutting edge and so new that there may be a lot of people who don't know about it. So I do my part in educating the primary care physicians and other cardiologists about these technologies. But as a patient, I think there is some responsibility that falls on your shoulders to ask the right questions. And mostly the questions are something like, what are my options other than surgery in some cases.
Right.
And so I think it's a combination of both things.
So let's migrate over to mitral clip, because that's an important, and that has also undergone massive new developments since it was introduced. And that's not nearly as old as TAVR, I believe.
Right. So mitral clip is, I would say it's relatively new, although the first mitral clip procedure I was in was back in 2006. So it's been around for a while. So the mitral clip device or the procedure is meant for patients who have a bad mitral valve. The mitral valve is the second of four valves in the heart, on the left side of the heart. And in some cases, these mitral valves start leaking. Just like a valve can become narrow, they can also become leaky. And so if you have a leaky mitral valve, back in the day, your option was to go in for open heart surgery and get either a mitral valve repair or a new surgical mitral valve. Over the last few years, now the FDA has approved this new therapy called the mitral clip therapy, and that's meant for patients with a severely leaky mitral valve. All of these patients that get this therapy have to be high risk for traditional open heart surgery. And so if a patient is referred to me for a possible mitral clip, again, we employ a multidisciplinary approach. I involve a cardiac surgeon who looks at the risk profile of the patient. And once the risk profile is determined to be high risk, then that patient could be eligible for mitral clip therapy.
And when we talk about minimally invasive, going home the next day, 2-3 days later, versus open heart surgery, how long are you in the hospital after open heart surgery? You could be there a long time.
Considerably longer, yeah.
Right.
So, for example, a patient who gets mitral clip traditionally will go home the next morning. So it's an outpatient procedure. You come in the morning, get the mitral clip done, stay overnight, and most likely you can go home the next morning.
And all of these technologies are really cutting edge, state of the art, reasonably new. People who have been afraid to address problems should no longer be so, because there are these types of process and procedures.
Yes, and in my practice, because I deal with these newer technologies, it's common for me to have patients who were diagnosed with one of these valve problems years ago, never seek medical treatment because the treatment was open heart surgery, and they did not want that. And now that they learn about these new technologies, they're coming back out and talking to their PCPs and coming to specialists like myself for these new therapies.
So if you're just tuning in, Scott Greenberg, oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Next, when we come back, we're going to be talking about AFib. And we hear a lot about AFib. We hear about it on TV commercials. There's all sorts of things out there on AFib. And we're going to get down to the bottom of what AFib is and what the treatment options are. We're going to talk about medications and another procedure called the Watchman. This is all very important. If you're just tuning in, I'm here tonight with Dr. Sanin from Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. He is a structural cardiology specialist. As I said earlier, I won't read his entire bio, but he's Mayo Clinic trained and has a fellowship in advanced structural interventional cardiology and interventional cardiology. He has two fellowships. That's really, really important. And he is right here where you are. If you have any questions for Dr. Sanin or myself, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-6 630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope that you've been here all night with us because this show is so important. I can't stress upon you enough how important this is, because many of us are struggling with cardiac issues and we are afraid actually to do anything about them. And obviously that's the wrong course of action to take. I'm here tonight with Dr. Saurabh Sanon. And he is at Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. He is the director of structural heart transcatheter therapies at Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. And he is doing truly cutting edge surgery, the kind of stuff that 10 years ago, 5 years ago, perhaps wasn't even available. He's doing a lot of minimally invasive transcatheter type of treatments, mostly around valve. And we're going to talk about that even a little bit more because we still have time. So if you have any questions for him or for me, though, you can call us at 877-960-9960. Dr. Sanon, we hear a lot. There's a lot of television commercials. There's all sorts of stuff out there about AFib. What is AFib? How do you find it? How do you treat it?
Sure. So AFib is basically a problem in the electrical system of the heart. So in a normal heart, the heartbeat is regular. However, in patients who have AFib, the heartbeat becomes irregular. So AFib is just a medical term for an irregular heartbeat. The problem with AFib is twofold. One, the heart beating is irregular, and some patients are symptomatic from it. And secondly, when patients have AFib, they are at risk of developing blood clots inside the heart in a chamber of the heart called the left atrial appendage. So AFib equals risk of stroke because of blood clots in the left atrial appendage. And so that's the morbidity of AFib. Now, your cardiologist or your PCP in most cases will start you on a blood thinner of some sort when you have atrial fibrillation. And the idea is to thin out those blood clots and prevent those from causing a stroke. The problem with blood thinners, as you and a lot of our listeners probably know, is that first, they're expensive. Second, they're inconvenient. So you have to get your blood thinning checked from time to time. You cannot eat anything you want. You have restrictions from a dietary standpoint. And so it's an inconvenient solution to preventing strokes, which is a big problem, in patients who have AFib. And so over the last few years, now there is a new therapy which has emerged for patients with AFib, and this therapy is called the Watchman device. And essentially what this is a device which is an alternative to blood thinning in patients who have AFib. So instead of taking a blood thinner and dealing with all of the problems of blood thinning, including the risk of bleeding, a risk of fall and bleeds, and the inconvenience of being on a blood thinner, you can now get this one-time non-surgical implant in the heart, which then prevents strokes from happening. At the same time, you don't need to be on a blood thinner.
So non-surgical, meaning it's minimally invasive.
Exactly.
It is a procedure. But what determines whether you stay on blood thinners and medications for AFib or you have the Watchman, or is that subject to kind of your choice?
So at this point in time, the FDA restricts the Watchman device to those patients who have a clinically sound reason to not be on a blood thinner. So what does that mean? It means that if you deserve a blood thinner because of your AFib and you've had a bleed in the past, it could be a gastrointestinal bleed, it could be a bleed in the eye, it could be a life-threatening thing like a bleed in the brain, you qualify. It could be that you have bad balance because of your age or because of neuropathy or for whatever reason. So now you can imagine a patient who has bad balance on a blood thinner.
Right.
That's just a problem waiting to happen.
It's an accident
right?
waiting to happen. Right.
So
you're going down.
Right. So any of those reasons are good indications for the Watchman as an alternative to blood thinning. Now I will say that this is one of those devices where old people qualify and younger people qualify. I've had patients who were into kickboxing, okay? And so this kickboxer now needed to be on a blood thinner. Well, he can't really be a kickboxer and be on a blood thinner. So,
right.
So he qualifies for a Watchman. And you know, all the examples I gave you, all of those patients also qualify. So the bottom line is, if you are on a blood thinner or if your doctor is thinking of starting you on a blood thinner for AFib, non-valvular AFib, that's the kind of AFib, and there is a good clinically sound reason why you should avoid a blood thinner, you'll qualify for a Watchman.
So you said symptomatic, but I know AFib is often asymptomatic, right? So it can be either or.
It could be either or, right. Yes.
So you find it by accident if it's asymptomatic, but if it is symptomatic, what are those symptoms?
The symptoms of AFib could be palpitations, which is, you know, you're feeling your heart race or beat fast. It could be feeling really tired or run down, depending on how fast your heart is going. So those are the two common symptoms of atrial fibrillation.
So if you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with Dr. Saurabh Sanon, who is at Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. He is a structural heart specialist, structural heart disease and interventional cardiology specialist. I want to talk about AFib because we see all the commercials for a minute or so. There's so much confusion about the meds out there. There are so many meds to choose from. There's new meds, there's old meds, there's meds that do this and meds that don't do that. How does somebody like me, a layperson, go and talk to my cardiologist about my AFib and tell him or he decide for me what is the best med to be on?
So as a cardiologist, which, you know, my initial training is as a cardiologist, when I see a patient who has atrial fibrillation, there are very specific scores that I employ to determine if my patient requires a blood thinner. So this is not everyone with AFib needs a blood thinner. Certain people with AFib with a level of risk in their scoring need a blood thinner. So if you need a blood thinner, then the next discussion you as a patient should have with your doctor is, which is the blood thinner which is best suited to my lifestyle? Is it warfarin or is it one of the newer blood thinners? And I would add number three there, which is, or is it Watchman?
Right.
So you know, if you are a candidate for blood thinning, you should ask your doctor, well, do I need blood thinning or can I get with get away with a Watchman device, which is as protective as a blood thinner.
And lasts for
it lasts forever. Lasts forever.
And it's covered by Medicare, and I don't have to go to the drugstore every month.
Right. And actually, so the big advantage of a Watchman device in research studies, the investigators found that if you get a Watchman as opposed to a blood thinner, warfarin, you're equally protected against a stroke, and you have a survival advantage. So you live longer.
That's terrific. So strokes are the key.
Strokes are the key, and right. Head bleeds are killers.
That's amazing. So if you're just tuning in, as I said, I've been here all night tonight with Dr. Sannin. Dr. Sannin is a really remarkable physician that we're lucky to have in our neighborhood. Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center is not often thought of as one of the best heart centers in the nation. But I can tell you that between certainly Orlando and Miami, there is none finer. And you can go even further than that. They do some amazing things there. And I know, unfortunately, from personal experience, just how good they can be because I was there. But anyway, if you sorry that you missed the show and you wish you had listened earlier, there is good news. We podcast. All you have to do is search OMG, I am getting, and up we will pop. You can listen to this show or any of the other 250 shows that we've done. We encourage you to do that and listen to this or to any other. In fact, you can subscribe to our podcast. We also put it up, if that's not what you do, on our website, palmbeach.comforcare.com. Comforcare, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Don't put a T in there as hard as you want. Don't do that. It's palmbeach.comforcare.com. Of course, if you don't have a radio, you do have a smartphone. So there is no excuse for you not to listen, because you can pick us up on the TuneIn Radio app or iHeartRadio. But the TuneIn Radio app, all you have to do is WSVU or 960 AM and put it in, set an alarm, set a reminder, pick us up every Monday night at 6 o'clock because we're live every Monday night. Of course, we simulcast on the web at www.trueoldies.com. Florida, TrueOldiesFLA.com, www.TrueOldiesFLA.com, across the area, across the state, across the nation, and across the world. I'm really excited. Tomorrow I'm leaving to go out and speak to the Florida State Clerks and Controllers Conference. All 67 counties of the elected clerks and controllers' offices, they have an annual conference, and I'm going to be speaking there this week. And I can't wait to come back with some interesting information to share with you. I'm really excited about that, and I appreciate having been asked to do so. So next week, what is a family office? Well, it's not a medical office, but it's just as important because it deals with your financial health. Jeff Eagle and Carrie Bletcher from Intracoastal Family Office will be here. It's a fascinating look at how you manage your investments. We're not going to talk specifically about what you should do with your investment. It's not an investment show, but it is a different way to look about investment, to look at your investments and how the rest of your life plays into that, particularly if you have a family that is dispersed all over the country, perhaps all over the world. They are fabulous people. I know them well. I can't wait for them to be here, and I'm looking forward to their being here. In 2 weeks, David Hirschberg will be here to talk about our Constitution. Yes, you know, that Constitution that we keep talking about. He is a constitutional expert. There is an awful lot we think we know about the Constitution and don't really know. He's an expert on all of those things. And yes, I promise you, we will discuss the Second Amendment, which should get people very upset. But in the time that I have left, I want to spend with my guest. Dr. Sannin, tell us about your practice. Tell us where you are and as much as you can about it.
Sure. So I'm here in Palm Beach Gardens. My office is in the medical office building, which is connected to Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. My practice is, I would say, quite unique. In that, since I am a dedicated structural heart specialist, I focus all of my time and energy on advanced structural heart procedures. And so instead of having a full-blown cardiology practice, I focus on very specific advanced heart conditions and procedures which involve valvular heart disease, so any problems with any heart valves, surgical things like patching holes in the heart, procedures like the Watchman procedure, all of these new innovative advanced cutting heart therapies for traditional heart problems.
So, and I think it's really important that we get the message out that what you do is, in fact, not traditional cardiology. So this isn't choosing you over your traditional cardiologist. In fact, more often than not, people find you through their cardiologist. And it's important that people understand that, like in many other disciplines, having an expert specifically in the area of valves and the kinds of things that you're talking about really is a real differentiator.
It certainly is. And I think for the level of complexity some of these procedures and technologies involve, I think having a dedicated practice to these technologies is important rather than being the jack of all trades.
Yeah, it really is. What brought you here? You, because you're not here for that long. You came here from another area
sunny,
of the state.
Sunny South Florida. So having trained at Rochester in Minneapolis, close to Minneapolis, and having sub-zero temperatures for months on end, I think it was a very easy decision for me to move down to South Florida.
I can't say as I blame you. I've been to Rochester, Minnesota. We're in a much better place. I want to give you the phone number that you can reach Dr. Sandin at. Dr. Sandin can be reached at 561-425-9881. That's 561-425-9881. And his address is 3370 Burns Road. He's in Suite 103. That's 3370 Burns Road. If you are seeing your cardiologist or not seeing your cardiologist, if you suspect you are struggling with any of the issues that we talked about tonight, this is a guy that you should see because he is cutting edge, leading edge, state of the art, and this is the kind of thing that can improve the quality of your life, not just the years in your life, but the quality of your life, and that's really what it's all about. So I want you to thank you for being here tonight. Dr. Sandin, you're a great guest. I really am thrilled that you got here and that you made it, and I appreciate the time that you spent with us tonight.
Thank you, Scott, for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. For the rest of you, we will be back next week with talking about a family office with Intracoastal Family Office. Jeff Eagle and Carrie Bletcher. Oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom, is live every Monday night at 6 o'clock. We broadcast on 95.9 True Oldies and 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We rebroadcast on Long Island, 103.9 FM, Long Island's Talk Radio. And again, we rebroadcast on Sunday morning on the same stations down here. I can't thank you enough for joining us. If you're new, please come back. If you're a regular, thank you again. We'll see you next week. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you then.